And can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, great, wonderful. We're on the air right now, folks. We did things a little bit different this evening. As you can imagine, BBS Radio is growing. And I put the guest on the air, and I had to run across the room to chase down a microphone. But that's us here at BBS Radio. Let me give you the introduction. Hold on. Good evening, and welcome to What a World Radio, celebrating diversity and loving it. This is Nevin Campanella bringing you a radio talk show that has no limits and bows to no one. From this microphone, we bring you guests who will lead you across those shadowy plains of forbidden knowledge. Hey, folks, we've got a great guest tonight. I have never heard of Vedic astrology, but tonight, in a few minutes, after I get through a little bit of news here and some announcements, and Beversdorf is going to give us some insight into the mysterious world of Vedic astrology. I don't know a whole lot. I did some investigating. I know it comes out of India. Okay, and do I want callers? No, I don't. I'm not even giving out the number. I don't need any callers. I'm just going to have my time with Ann alone. Let's see, what else have we got going on? News. Okay, let's get to some news here. Snow melt occurring earlier in North America. Folks, this has been announced not just today, although it came up on the 25th. The U.S. Geological Survey has been talking about this for quite a while. North America is having snow melt and runoff into rivers earlier than it did the first half of the 20th century. What does that mean, folks? Are we all melting? We're melting away. Folks, we got a problem. We've got a problem with the greenhouse effect, the blue house effect, and especially the White House effect. You got it, folks. Oh, if the White House effect is certainly melting my river. All right, Portland, Oregon. This is coming down the road. Pay attention, folks, because Oregon is testing the idea of collecting highway funds not through tax on the gallon of gasoline, but tax on actual miles driven. Now, you can guess how that's going to occur. Little global positioning trackers placed on your vehicle, and that's how they'll calculate how many miles you drove. It's Big Brother time, folks. Get ready. Also, one of the other little things we're going to do a little bit different tonight. BBS Radio is starting to reformat itself into a professional radio system. One of the very first things that we have to do is learn about timing. And that means when a show is produced and it says it's 50 minutes, 55 minutes, whatever it is, the show has to end exactly then. It doesn't really matter at this point when they begin, when they end. We'll catch up to that in terms of AM, FM affiliates. What is important is show hosts need to really start understanding the need to get this under control. I know there's a lot of listeners out there who sometimes say, gee, either they're not on, or boy, this person's going past that time, and so on and so forth. This is going to change. And no question about it, folks. It's going to change. It's got to change. Otherwise, we will remain forever in the realm of amateur radio. And I have been asked by Don Newsom to help out with formatting. And so that's what I've been doing. Let's see, any other news? Nah. Let's get on with one last bit of information. Instead of ending at 8:55, we're going to end tonight's show at 8:50. I got to start drawing these shows back, and I'm going to start with mine. Also, it has been suggested, and I don't know if this is going to happen, that shows will eventually start 10 minutes after the hour. I do not know when that will occur, but it's a pretty good suggestion. I kind of like the idea because it starts fitting the format of AM, FM affiliates. Okay, tonight's guest, Anne Beversdorf, will give us some insight into the mysteries of Vedic astrology. Anne has a BA, a magna cum laude, from University of Texas in Austin, very bright lady, and a master's degree in information science from Indiana University. Anne has studied astrology for many years under most excellent teachers, and of course, like many of us, having read hundreds and hundreds of books, in her case, astrology books. Hi, Anne. Welcome to Water World Radio.
Well, hi, Nevin, and thanks for having me on. This is going to be fun.
Oh, absolutely, Anne. One of the things that I'm personally involved in is my wife, Jill, is an astrologer.
Oh, how fabulous.
And however, I only know about Western astrology through her, so tonight we're going to get a glimpse of something different. And I am interested in it. Jill does old natal charts and so on and so
mm-hmm.
forth for a lot of people. But I've only seen one view of astrology, and that's, of course, through Jill. So
mm-hmm.
tonight I'm going to have a chance to get a view through another set of eyes, which is very welcome. But, Anne, before we get into astrology,
yeah.
I'd like to know a little bit about your background. I mean, who are you for real? Are you a real person, or did you just fall out of the sky?
Well, I don't know. Sometimes I think I may have fallen out of the sky. Sometimes other people think I may have.
Well,
I grew up in a university town in Bloomington, Indiana, where my father was a music professor. In fact, both of my parents were classical musicians. And so I had the advantage of a university community with a lot of very brilliant people and an exceptional school that I went through from kindergarten through high school. And also parents who were not simply academics, although definitely they were academics. They had the artistic sensitivity that, let's say, an economist might not have. So I had both a left and right brain education, so to speak.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Hey, listen, a lot of us only do get one side, so you lucked out, kid.
I really did. I really did. I was extremely fortunate in that respect. And I was oldest of five kids, and my second sister died when I was 13, and that became a really, really critical turning point in my life.
Excuse me, since you brought it up, what was the cause of death?
She drowned.
Can you give us the circumstance?
She was 2 years old, and she had just learned how to unlock a sliding door that went into a small room with plants and a tiny pond in it. And she managed to get in there when nobody was looking and apparently hit her head on the edge of the pond because it was very shallow.
Oh, my God.
So that was, and then my parents had two more children after her death. So it was a really big thing because she was the light of my life.
How old were you at the time?
I was 13.
Oh, my word. You were at a tragic state in life itself, and then this happens.
Yeah, yeah. And so it set me, many years later, I realized I had decided to take the old Spanish proverb, the best revenge is to live well, to heart. But I was really trying to take revenge against God. It's like, I don't need you if you do these things. And at some point, I reached a realization that I had to come to terms with how this has affected me and that the semblance of success, because I was in the business world and was doing very well, and it didn't satisfy me, and it was, wait a minute, I don't need to prove anything. I just need to get doing what I need to do. So that was the point at which I started really moving into other directions on a more serious level.
Well, when you say other directions, how did you actually pinpoint and go into astrology itself? I mean, what slung you there? Was there an incident that took place?
Well, I think I was predisposed. In junior high school, my science fair projects were always on ESP. And I actually won first place one year.
So you kind of dabbled from a very early age in metaphysical.
Mm-hmm. But I never considered astrology the same as EST, and I think this is a confusion a lot of people have. Years ago, I approached the Institute for Noetic Sciences about an article on astrology, and it was like they were holding up the cross, like against a vampire. No, we don't do astrology. And they're into so many things. But astrology is, it's kind of a, not a friend of the psychics, because the psychics are very, very right brain oriented. And it's not a friend of the mathematicians, because they're exclusively left-brained. And what astrology is a very analytical science that then you have to apply intuition to.
Okay, hold on one second, Ann. When we talk about the left and right brain, because Jill, you know, was so actively involved in astrology,
mm-hmm.
she asked me one time to, this was at the very early stages,
mm-hmm.
she asked me one time to develop a computer program for her and to see what I can come up with. So she gave me a book
mm-hmm.
on the math of astrology.
Yes.
I got to tell you, Ann, that was extremely complicated.
It is very complicated. You know, I'm grateful for computers.
You know, I finally developed a program. I mean, it was rough. I did make it, and it came out correct. But, Ann, the gyrations that I went through with side real time and this time and that calculation and this, I mean,
yeah.
I had pages and pages and pages of calculations. And folks, I want everybody to know that prior to computers, astrologers were doing this by hand.
Yes, and they were spending hours and hours and hours just doing the math before they could even get to the level of interpretation.
Yeah, and that, I mean, that's got to be a real bummer, you know. Here you are interested in the stars, but you wind up spending a week trying to do a configuration of the stars. I mean, it's,
yeah.
I have to say, it does take a lot of left brain to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't just do it, folks. I mean, if you're not quick to start with, believe me, you're not going to make it as an astrologer. Go ahead.
Yeah. But, and then the other part of it, Nevin, as you well know, is that the astrological system itself, with all the glyphs, which think of hieroglyphs and you'll get the idea, is a language. It's a language where, just like in Egyptian hieroglyphics, if you put this symbol next to, if you put symbol one next to symbol two, it means, symbol one means this, but if you put symbol one next to symbol seven, symbol one means something entirely different. And all these little glyphs and magical little symbols that you see written in an astrological chart work the same way. They're a language, but the meaning of each of the words changes a little bit according to what it's put next to.
Well, you know, one time Jill tried to get me to understand the symbols.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many. I mean, it's,
yeah.
You look at astrology, you look at all these thousands and thousands of pieces, you wonder,
mm-hmm.
how does one person do it?
It's one of the things that attracts me to the study is that it never ends. There is always more to learn, to know, to understand, and to understand experientially as well as with your mind. I used to be in computer education, and I loved computer, and after a while I realized, wait a minute, because at first I thought, I'll never stop learning this. There's always more to learn. But then, you know, the systems would change, and you just had to learn the same thing over in a different language. And then the system would change again, and you'd have to learn the same thing in a different language.
Yeah. Listen, Ann, I got to make an announcement real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Folks, I know that the volume on my mic is low. My buddy Scott in Omaha, Nebraska, Robin Valley AM Radio, just sent me a note. And I'm asking him now, he's typing, if the volume has gone up. I seem to be screaming in my ears, but for some reason it's coming across low. Go ahead, Ann. I had to get that message out.
Okay. Well, I hope it works out. So anyway, it's interesting, the language aspect and the way the symbols change. And, you know, there's another way that the symbols have changed over time. Vedic astrology is the oldest complete system of astrology. And by complete, I mean it's uninterrupted. And the Western system has been interrupted several times. We lost it Well, we've lost it many times. The last time it was really robust was about 300 A.D. And then over time, more and more of the pieces started falling out, particularly as Europe went through what they call the Dark Ages. And then again, when it came up in the Renaissance, it dropped away again with the beginning of the Age of Enlightenment, as they called it, because they didn't believe in this anymore. And so we lost traditions twice. And this has had good and bad effects on Western astrology.
Well, hold on, Anne. Mm-hmm. How does that actually occur when you say, you know, it gets lost? What happened socially?
Fewer people study it. The written records become lost. There are fewer people who practice, for practicing astrologers to communicate with, to expand and grow their understanding of the system. In the early years of the CE, Common Era, it was a robust science, and there were many, many levels of details that professional astrologers are just now beginning to rediscover that make it even more complicated than we know it to be today. I mean, things about the faces of the planets and whether it's a day birth and a night birth, then different planets carry different meanings and very specific rules. Now, in the Indian system, they have an unbroken tradition. The Western astrologers have the advantage of every time it had to reinvent itself and, like a phoenix, pull itself out of the ashes, the Western system then would incorporate the newest thinking. So Western astrology tends to be very psychological and particularly going toward transformational psychology.
Oh, absolutely.
Uh-huh.
I can attest to that because just about every Western astrologer I come across eventually they get knee-deep into psychological terminology.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
So it became very obvious to me. Also, I should mention to you, Anne, I don't know if you know my background. I have a PhD in psychology.
Okay.
And so, you know, I see this coming out all the time, and I'm saying to myself, you know, are these people astrologers, or are they psychologists? You know, what are they? What are they doing?
Well, frankly, I think it's a way to lock on to an accepted paradigm that has some relationship to what astrology does. Astrology very much does. But, you know, if we had a language of physics that was as robust and accessible to common people as the language of psychology has become, you could use psychology and interpret it from a physics point of view, I think. I mean, I'm not a physicist, and I'm not going to attempt to do that. But
that actually has been tried, Anne.
Okay.
Historically, you know, people actually have tried to come up with mathematical equations of behavior. They never work.
Right, right. Except for the astrological equations do tend to work.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Which is very odd, yeah.
That's why I was so fascinated by the work my wife was doing.
Yeah,
because, you know, I spent 30 years in the field as a clinical psychologist, and my wife whips out a calculation, and I know the person, I look at it and say, my God, if you're right on the money, kid, and what did you do? And
yeah.
She doesn't know them from Adam.
Yeah, it's funny. I was talking to a fellow earlier today and said, you know, the real issue in your life is that you have, you don't trust the goodness of life. You fear that life really isn't good. Even though you've been extremely lucky all your life, you probably think that that's just a fluke and it could stop at any moment. And then there's a separate thing in this person's life where they have really been attacked, even though they've been lucky. They've been under unfair attack quite often in their lives. Psychologically, you would tend to put those two things together and say, oh, they don't trust life because they've been under attack.
Right, exactly. That would be the logical psychological conclusion.
Mm-hmm. But astrologically, they aren't related. They certainly reinforce each other, but they aren't related.
Explain that further, Anne.
Okay. There was one pattern in this person's chart that simply said he couldn't trust the goodness of life. He just couldn't trust it. There was a whole separate thing in his chart that said he was frequently under unfair attack. Those are two separate things. But you've known people who have never been attacked in their lives, and feel like life is really a miserable thing.
Oh, yeah, they walk around as a constant victim and nothing has ever happened to them.
And there are people who've been under a lot of attack and still feel like life is good.
Yeah, you got it.
And in this case, we could see the two separate things, but they were separate. They just kind of added to each other since he had them both.
All right, you know what, Ann, this is a wonderful time. You've given so much information. I'm going to read a testimonial from your website. Folks, pay attention. This is from an attorney in Pennsylvania. Quote, last time we spoke, you said the eclipse of July and August were likely to bring about restructuring or reorganization of my company, possibly a change of bosses. You said it would be a window of about 2 weeks in either direction. Yesterday, at the beginning of the two-week window, we learned of a hostile takeover bid from a French company. They want to buy us out and consolidate our firm with theirs. No one expected this. You continue to amaze me with your insight. Folks, this is from an attorney in Pennsylvania talking to Ann. Because apparently she's been consulting with him. I wasn't a believer. At one time, you know, I would have said, astrology, hey, come on, give me a break. But I became a believer, folks. And that I could have written that testimony because I seen Jill do it. And you've given so much information. Let's get a little bit to your website itself in terms of, number one, what is your website? Let's get start with that.
The address is www.stariel, that's stariel.com.
And your email address, Ann?
And my email is Ann, A-N-N-E, at stariel.com.
Okay, that's stariel.com, folks.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that you stated... On your website, and I'm going to read it, offering deeply compassionate and personal astrological insight, relationship awareness, relocation assistance. Boy, I could have used that a while back. And an ongoing service of spiritual growth coaching to help you identify and reach your life goals. Okay, Ann, you're a consultant, astrologically speaking, now.
Mm-hmm.
So a person writes to you and says, Ann, I'd like to have an astrology report. How much does this cost, Dan? What were you talking about in terms of money?
Okay, the first consultation is longer and more expensive because I have a lot of background preparation to do.
Yeah, I know. I watched you.
And we also spend more time on the phone looking at how the planetary themes have played out in your life. So the first consultation is 90 minutes. It's $150, and we talk on the phone. It's a two-way conversation, and it's taped. And so you get the tape, and you get some printed material as well. And what I like to do is, okay, some people, there used to be, I guess it's still out, a little cartoon called The Family Circle.
Oh, I love that.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
There was a cartoon that I used to use in lectures where Billy, the little boy, was trying to get the fly to go out the open window. He'd come into the house, and he was trying to get it to go out the open window, and it was flying, and Family Circle would always trace the path of something, you know. So the path of the fly was going all over the room, and it was just zigzagging all over the place, never two ways twice, but kind of the same pattern, and it never went out the window. This is what... in an astrological chart or in life itself would be called the strange attractor. And one's heartbeat is totally unique, even though it has infinite variability within its own pattern. It's totally unique to each person. And the chart is totally unique to each life. However, how one uses that chart can be quite different. You can have two people born on exactly the same day and the same time and everything else, and while they'll have very many similar things going on in their life. Well, let's skip the same time. Let's say same day, same place, same day. How they use that energy is very different from person to person. So when I'm doing a consultation, one of the first things I want to do is to see how you have used your energy. For example, the planet Neptune can be extremely creative. Its main theme is to escape the humdrum and reach a higher spiritual reality. However, the lowest level of using Neptune can be a drug or alcohol addiction.
Ah, so then what you're saying is you're not locked in is going to depend on you.
Exactly. Now, if you've got a strong Neptune in your chart, either you're going to have escapist behaviors or you're going to be extremely spiritual, which in a way is another kind of escapist behavior.
Oh, hey. Believe me, I know about it.
It's escaping. It's escaping the world of bricks and mortar.
Yeah, I mean, there are people that I encounter all the time who literally have want to escape the mundane stuff like paying your bills by becoming so engrossed in the what they see as spirituality, they kind of lose the forest for the trees. Well.
And so you have to look at how does this individual, how have they expressed this throughout their lives? And so as a result, with some people, I will know that even though, let's say, their boyfriend, the new person they met, has a difficult chart, the chances are, knowing how my client has used their energy well, that the person they have attracted with the difficult chart has used that energy well, too. Whereas a client who has not used their energy well will inevitably attract somebody who hasn't used their energy well. So you learn and you grow, and you reach a higher level of satisfaction as well as understanding.
Okay, now when a person writes to you, Ann,
exactly
what should they be putting in the email?
Well, I need to know, well, first of all, we just need to set up an appointment and get all that handled. And in order to do their analysis, I need their birth date and the exact time that they were born. Birth certificate is handy there, and the city and state or country they were born in. And that's basically all I need. I don't need their exact birth name or changes of spelling or any of that.
And why is the location so important?
Well, you know, when we're talking, we're both in California, but somebody back in the East Coast right now, the moon is in a different place in the sky than it is out here because you've moved across the horizon and the moon is in a different place and the stars above your head, they're all in different places. And so the exact latitude and longitude tell us where the stars and planets were, where you were born.
Ah, okay. Well, you know, Ann, you, one time you wrote to me and you said, Nevin, tell me what time you were born. Did you do anything with that information?
Well, I did, and I apologize, but I almost had to laugh when I looked at it, Nevin. You are in such an extremely busy time, and busy is, I think, a polite word.
You ain't kidding.
Right now, you have, first of all, Mercury just went direct today, and many people have heard about Mercury retrograde. It's time when you don't sign contracts and you don't start new projects. It's a good time for reviewing and rethinking and any RE word, researching. And let's see, early yesterday morning, Mercury went direct. Now, Mercury doesn't turn around and do loop-de-loops in the sky, really, but the way we're sitting on the planet and looking up, it looks like it stops and then turns around and goes in the other direction.
But it doesn't really do that, right?
No, it doesn't really do that. If you ever get to go to a planetarium and let them speed up the movement of the night sky with the planets included, you'll see the planets go forward and then backwards and forwards and backwards. It's quite startling.
But it is a perceptual
thing. It's just perceptual. It's like when you look at a freight train that is kind of going off sideways from where you're driving on the highway, it looks like it's getting slower as it goes off in that sideways direction. And at a certain point, if it's going off sideways far enough, it'll look almost like it's moving backwards as you're moving.
Okay, so what do you know about me?
What I know about you, first of all, is that you have a moon in Pisces. The sun is popular because sun sign astrology is something, you know, most people know about because of newspapers and magazines. The only reason we know about it is because newspapers and magazines figured out they could get some more readers if they figured out a way for us to do this simply. Doesn't mean that much, although you are a Leo. But your moon is in Pisces, and Nevin, your moon is exactly where Mercury turned around to go forward and where Uranus has been. And Uranus and Mercury together are, it's like hot wiring the nervous system.
Well, you know what? You just really described the past 3 or 4 days for me.
Yeah, it's like the electricity is running through your body. You could even short things out by touching them. And your brain probably feels pretty fried.
Yeah, it sure does.
So that's a current thing that's going on. The other thing that's rather interesting as I look at your Vedic chart is you fairly recently entered a new dasha. Now, the Indians have a system that Western astrologers lost about 300 AD or CE, which they're now beginning. Some of the antique astrologers are reviving the system. But in the Indian system, they call it dashas. And they take a period of 120 years, and they make each part of that period ruled by one of the planets. So when you were born in a period ruled by the North Node. North Node of the Moon in the Indian system tends to be a little bit erratic. And so for the first 2 years of your life, there was a bit of an erratic energy. I don't know if your family moved a lot. That was a possibility here.
I was sick a lot.
Well, that was something I was seeing in your Western chart. You were born with Pluto nearly stationary in it, and you probably nearly died in your first year.
You're right.
Yeah. But in this chart, we see Rahu with Jupiter. You had protection. And that was the first 2 years of your life, and then you went into a Jupiter cycle. So I would look at this and say that your family provided you with tremendous educational opportunities.
Oh, absolutely. Let me speak to that for a second, because, folks, what she's saying is absolutely true. Let me give you a little quick rundown on my background.
Okay.
I come out of a very cultural Italian family. My parents did not go to school. They immigrated here, but they knew that education would make a difference. So that was a constant within the home.
Mm-hmm.
It was nonstop. And
we see both your father and mother as very strong in this.
Oh yeah. As a matter of fact, my father, just like my mother, you know, had very limited education, but working hard during the day, he would go to school at night. He became a draftsman. He became a welder. He developed a number of skills by going to school at night. That's how involved
mm-hmm.
they were.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you were in this Jupiter period until 1961. And so this opportunity for a very good education went almost through all of your high school, but not all the way through. And then you entered a period of Saturn. And Saturn tends to be responsibilities. I would say, and I'm just kind of estimating here, let's see, 40. No, it was through high school. It was through high school. I'm trying to do the math here without doing it aloud, so I'm not giving away everything here. But in 61, you entered a Saturn period, and this is more like, oh, got to face the music here. This is a little more serious, not as easy. Things didn't come as smoothly or naturally. It was possibly a time when you may have had something difficult happen with a sibling, and it may have also been a time, and it's a 20-year period, so it's or a 19-year period, and it's also a time when entrepreneurial skills, entrepreneurial having to do with your work, started to become very important.
Yeah, most certainly did. We're talking about me at around the age of 19 or 20?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll tell you what happened. There was a crisis within the family. At the age of 15, my mother died.
Okay.
And at that point, the family became fractured, and I was left on my own.
Okay.
And my sister, who is 3 years older than me to the day, we're both born on August 16th.
Wow.
She tried her best, you know, to deal with a rather wild young teenage male I grew up on the streets of Newark. And so finally it came to a point where this actually happened. The high school principal and the counselor literally walked me down to the sign-up station and said, which service do you want to join? I was in a lot of trouble.
Okay.
And the only way to keep me out of reform school was to get me, you know, involved in some kind of structure. And,
mm-hmm.
and so I wound up joining the Marine Corps at that point.
As yeah, I see you starting Saturn at age 17.
Yeah, you got it. That's that's when they walked me down, and I wasn't 18 when they walked me down there.
Yeah.
But I was going to be, and you know, it was coming close. And so on my 18th birthday, I was hauled off.
Yeah. Yeah, because you started this in May of 61. You would have been 18 in August.
Yeah, it was very traumatic, and my life changed considerably at that point. I became, what would you say, extremely independent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm sure they're tired of hearing about Nevin.
But it's interesting because we get, and as you can see, each of these planetary periods is a climate change.
Well,
and you just had one in 04, Nevin. In May of 04 was a major climate change, and it went from a period that was somewhat retiring and not wanting to be out there in the public into a period that is more educational, more entertaining. Actually, it's a period in which you'll shine. This is going to be a lovely 20 years for you.
I hope I live that long.
You don't have to.
She's right again. In 2004, it was Jill and I were leading a very secluded life in the remote mountains of New Mexico. She became extremely ill, and we went through a period of medical treatment, so on and so forth. And all of a sudden, a year ago, I found myself all of a sudden coming out of the backwoods,
mm-hmm.
and now. I can't hardly believe what I'm doing. I'm a talk show host.
Yeah, and you've got the third ruler, Mercury, which is communication, in the fifth house of education. So you're educating. Your sun is in its own fifth house with Venus, which is your second ruler. That's money. I mean, this is going to end up being a fruitful career venue for you, I think.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. I've had an amazing offer, which I'm involved in right now, and all I can say to everyone out there is that what Ann just said has already reached fruition, so to speak.
Fabulous.
We are, how can I say this humbly, we are well cared for.
And you can ride this wave actually as far as 2030.
2030?
Mm-hmm. If we're all here then.
I should live so long. Okay, that sounds wonderful. I mean, you're giving me a wonderful thing to look at. You know what? You just picked up my spirits a little bit. I've been so involved here, folks, the past week. excuse me. I've been made COO of the company, which is a very tough position. It's the
mm-hmm.
chief operations officer,
mm-hmm.
and he's a bad guy. he's the one that does all the stuff that nobody really wants to have to do. And but I was picked. They selected me because of them knowing me and my personality, and I don't waver.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so this is the job that was given to me, and I accepted it gratefully. Okay, and there is a word I want to ask you about. I
mm-hmm.
can't even pronounce it.
Okay.
Jyotish. What is that?
Jyotish.
Again?
Jyotish.
Jyotish. Okay. What is that?
That is the correct word for the practice of astrology, the India way. And Jyotish means science of light. Light being like sun, moon, and stars. And Jyotish is one of the Vedas. there are seven Vedas, and they cover all sorts of different areas of life. Ayurveda is the one about the health of the body. And Jyotish is one of the Vedas. Most people have never heard of it, and they call it Vedic astrology or Indian astrology or Hindu astrology. Jyotish would be the correct term, but since a lot of people don't know that term.
Well, it's a real tongue twister when you go to look.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Yeah, you try to pronounce it. You look at J-Y-O, I'm going, J-O.
Yeah, it's like joy twisted.
Yeah, twisted around. Also, in investigation, I came across that word almost as a person's name in India. And it seems as if, I guess it must be a name that's common.
It would be a title. You would have a Jyotishi, and a Jyotishi would be a person who practices Jyotish, and sometimes you see that appended to a name like a title.
Now I understand. Okay. There's a comment here, I think this is from your website, that this dates back 6,000 years. Now, that's a long time.
At least. Okay. At least, yeah.
Now, let's get some reference for that. If somebody says to me something is dated nearly 6,000 years, how the heck do they know?
Tracing, in this case, well, there's kind of a division going on right now, as you are well aware, between traditional historians and some of the new historians and archaeologists. The old way of dating things was the written record. The people who are beginning to question some of the dating that traditional historians have done have been able to prove that oral tradition can be extremely accurate and can go back millennia, literally millennia, in maintaining its accuracy. And what happened is the written tradition of Jyotish or of the Vedas, it wasn't written down until like 1500 BC, but it was written based on the oral tradition. And the way the oral tradition was maintained was that children, from the minute they learned to talk in the families of the tradition carriers, were given these, they call them sutras, threads of rules about how does this work, what are the rules of astrology. And they would be given these rules to memorize, almost instead of any other kind of speech, you had to memorize these exact things, thousands of pages of material. And this was drilled into the tradition carriers from the minute they could begin to talk.
Oh, my word. You're blowing me away by what you're saying. I mean, we're talking about the training of people in a lot of material.
Yes. Because they didn't have the written word at that time, and the only way to make sure it was maintained accurately was to take this discipline of memorization very seriously.
Okay. Let's get down to some differences here.
Mm-hmm.
How would you simply describe the difference between, I'm going to use the word Vedic, okay, because I'm going to mess up that other word, between Vedic and Western astrology. How are they different?
It goes back to what was lost in the Western and then what was gained. They say, for example, after World War II, Japan's industry was destroyed, and when they rebuilt it, they were far ahead of America.
Oh, absolutely.
Because they got to build all the new stuff,
yeah.
And we were still dealing with old things. And I see Western and Vedic astrology in very much the same terms. The Western is more dynamic, has more contemporary elements to it. The Vedic is more traditional, and in fact, Indian astrologers, when they come to this country, have learned that they have to practice their astrology differently because there are different cultural rules that didn't demand change in India. For example, there are times when one can look at a chart and say, oh, this is a period when, in India, you will get married during this period. That's clear, no arguments, that's the end of the story. They come over here and they tell somebody, and the person looks at them kind of blankly, and And they try it for a couple of other times that look likely, and it turns out, well, during this period, I got a proposal, but I turned them down. And in this period, I lived with somebody, but we never married. And so we have choices here that in Indian culture, if you have the opportunity to marry, you marry. You don't live with somebody. You don't turn down a proposal because a proposal isn't made unless it's sanctioned by the families involved.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've got the opportunity, it happens, period. Here, the families don't have to be involved. We've got much more individual choice in the matter. And that goes to, in the Indian system, traditionally, they don't go beyond the planet Saturn. Because Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto weren't even discovered until starting in the, well, about the time of the American Revolution.
Ah, wait a minute. That must explain some things I ran into on your website.
Okay.
Let me run down. I'm going to jump my notes here. Hold on.
Okay.
I'm looking for a specific thing I ran into, and I didn't know what to do with it. Hold on. Okay. Uranus page is empty.
I'm sorry?
The Uranus page. There is nothing.
Oh, those are just incompletenesses.
Okay. I thought maybe it had something to do with astrology. I didn't know.
No, there were a couple of glitches that happened, and some pages got lost, and I haven't been able to get up there and put them back on there.
Okay. As long as we're both talking about the same thing, I thought, well, after what you just said, I thought, okay, maybe that is supposed to be that way.
No. That's just a screw-up on my part.
Okay.
I acknowledge.
You see what happens with information, folks?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you really got to be careful when you're communicating. Go ahead, Ann.
Well, but it is interesting because Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto, and you know we've had three more planets discovered in this solar system in the last couple of years.
Matter of fact, let's talk about that for a second because this confuses the hell out of me.
Okay.
There is a, I don't know whether it's a planet or a comet. Is it Chiron or
Chiron? Chiron. Yeah, so that's even a fourth.
Okay. What is it? Is it a planet?
They think it's a comet that got trapped in orbit. It tends to be very, very powerful in one's chart. And what's so wonderful about astrology is if you look at the mythological archetypes, you learn so much about how that archetype operates in our lives. And the archetype of Chiron is actually fairly active for you right now. Some people call it the wounded healer. I call it the wound that heals.
Oh, how lovely.
And it's where you find, in fact, in your chart recently, it looks like something having to do with either work, well, probably in the arena of work, could be money and creativity. Something looked like it was falling apart, and in the very falling apart, got improved to the level that a previous problem got healed.
I could relate to a dozen things to what you just said.
Yeah, we're looking at within the last 10 months, 8 months.
Oh, absolutely. My life has changed. If you took a salt shaker and just turned it upside down, that's how my life changed.
Yeah, yeah. And at first it felt like it was a wound, and then you realized it was clearing out the old wound.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah, it's kind of like if you've got this big infection under the skin, the best way to get it out, and sometimes the only way, is to lance the infection, which can be extremely painful, but it releases it and lets it go. And so that's kind of how Chiron works in our lives. Interestingly, the two new planets that have been named, and that's for an astrologer a critical thing, are one called Quayor, which was named for an American Indian god, L.A. Basin, who is very Shiva-like. This god destroys the world and dances it back into existence.
Wonderful. You know, there's a shamanic tradition in which most people don't really understand this about shamanism. Shamanism is the creation of structure and then tearing it down.
Yes.
Including the shaman's own body, in which they go through a death ritual of taking
yes.
the body apart.
That's, yeah.
And we're going to run out of time here.
Oh, okay.
I got so many questions, and I got a minute left. I want you to touch on the creation story by Hermes Trismegistus.
Yes. The Corpus Hermeticum is another one of those books that has an oral tradition that vastly predates its written version. In fact, some people claim it goes all the way back to Atlantis. But in the translated versions, which most of them have not been translated, parts of that book have not been translated into Western languages. In the translated versions, there's very little astrology. What does exist is a creation story that begins with God, as all creation stories do, and God creates mind, and then mind creates the planets, and the planets are called the rulers of destiny.
And I'm so sorry we have hit that
On that note.
I did want you to touch on that. I wish we had more time.
Well, this has just been so fun. It's been just delightful, and we'll have to chat again sometime, Evan.
Oh, absolutely, Anne. I mean, it's absolutely fascinating. Thank you so much for coming on our show.
And thank
today.
You.
And good night to you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
And folks, that ends our Sunday night adventure. Until next time, this is Nevin Campanella wishing all of you health, happiness, and a safe journey on your chosen path. Goodbye.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a Service to Others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.